The 13th Sunday after Pentecost, the epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, the promises were made to Abraham and his offspring. He does not say unto his offsprings as of many, but as of one, and to thy offspring who is Christ. Now I mean this, the law which was made 430 years later does not annul the covenant which was ratified by God so as to make the promise void. For if the right to inherit be from the law, it is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What then was the law? It was enacted on account of transgressions, being delivered by angels through a mediator until the offspring should come to whom the promise was made. Now there is no intermediary where there is only one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? By no means. For if a law has been given that could give life, justice would be truly from the law. But the Scripture shut up all things under sin, that by faith of Jesus Christ the promise might be given to those who believe. Please stand for the Gospel. At that time, as Jesus was going to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee, and he was entering a certain village. There met him 10 lepers, who stood afar off and lifting up their voice, crying, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, Go show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass that as they were on their way, they were made clean. But one of them, seeing that he was made clean, returned with a loud voice, glorifying God. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. But Jesus answering said, Were not 10 made clean, but where are the 9? Has no one been found to return and give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Arise and go thy way, for thy faith has saved thee. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In today's Gospel, the moral level of Scripture, so remember Scripture is written on four different levels, the literal, that is the words and deeds truly happened. The moral is the lesson for us to apply on how we are supposed to live our lives. And then there's the analogical and the anagogical, one looking to the end time, the other looking to words and actions representing other things. On the moral level, that is how we apply it to our life, the meaning of this gospel is very clear. We have to thank God. We should thank God. We must thank Him for all the things He's done for us. The 10 lepers, they are healed. Now remember, leprosy was greatly feared in the ancient world, that it was highly contagious, and so if you had leprosy, you were then an outcast. These people weren't in the town, they were outside. They weren't permitted to come in town. And leprosy caused a complete, really, destruction of the life. They became beggars outside. You couldn't work because you couldn't interact with other people. And so they lost their lives, basically. And when Christ came and healed them, then they got their lives back. They were healed. It was a complete change in their life. It wasn't the same as maybe someone with the man with the withered hand. He was able to participate in society and with his family. This was something even worse. And so for these 10 men to be healed was an incredible gift to them. And yet, how many came back? Only one. Only one returned to give thanks. Now, many times when we look at the spiritual life, we can get a good insight by little children, you know, really. You know, think about little children. We're always having to teach them, oh, you got to give thank you. Say thank you for the thing, for what was given you. Why? Because if you give a child, you know, a cookie or something or a piece of candy, they become so focused on that, they forget about it. They might be able to say, please, please, please. You know, that's easier because they haven't gotten it yet, right? But then once they get it, they think, oh, I got a cookie. And they forget all about giving thanks. See, all the parents are chuckling right now, right? You know, as adults, we're not much different. We're really good at asking God for things, but do we really give Him a heartfelt thanks? And in general, are we thankful to other people who do give us things? But of course, the highest is God. Are we really thankful for Him, to Him, for the things He's given us? You know, every gift of God can be reduced to one of three categories: our creation, our redemption, and our sanctification. Think about creation. God created each one of us from nothing. Nothing. He called us into existence, an eternal existence. He's calling us to a friendship with Him forever in heaven. Does God get anything from our creation? Nothing. He gets nothing from it. He is perfect already before He created anything. Sometimes, you know, we think too much like ourselves. Oftentimes when we give something or when we're generous, there is a good feeling about giving. God doesn't feel this. He doesn't get that. Christ might, Christ in His humanity, it's true, but in His divinity, He's already perfect. His gift to us of our life is what we say a pure gift. It is pure giving to us. He gets nothing. Unlike our gifts, oftentimes when we give, actually, it's pretty general that when we give, we do get something back. Even that gratitude or that good feeling. And so oftentimes we connect those together. But we have to remember that for God, that's not the case. It's a pure, free gift from Him to call us and to give us that eternal life. And then, of course, what do? We abuse that gift and we commit sins. The devils committed one sin. The angels got one chance. And if they committed one sin, that was it. They were cast out, cast into hell. How many chances does God give us in our redemption? First, He gives us the ability to know Him. We were baptized, but then we have the second, third, fourth, fifth chance back there in the confessional. How many times does He give us another chance, and another chance, and another chance? Do we thank Him for that? Thank Him when we come out of the confessional, truly from the heart. Thank Him for His gift of that cleansing of my soul so that I can start anew. And what about just our sanctification? That's a creation redemption. Nothing about our sanctification. God just doesn't remove sin from us. He wants us to be holy. Remember, no sin is zero, right? He wants us to now become holy. So He gives us many graces in our soul to help us to know Him and to love Him, to love our neighbor, to become holy. To become holy is to be like Him, to be able to give freely. He says, freely you've been given, freely it's been given to you, freely you give. That's what He wants us to do. Think about that sanctification, which of course happens at His greatest point with the Blessed Sacrament, when we receive communion. Christ comes to dwell in us, to unite Himself to us. Why? So that we would then become holy and become like Him. He's here every day, all day long, 24 hours a day, except on Good Friday, of course. He's here for you. He doesn't come down to St. Therese of Lisieux. He doesn't come down to remain in the ciborium, but He wants to be united. He's giving Himself to each one of us. Are we really appreciative of that? We might give a little thanksgiving after communion. Maybe after going to confession, we give a little thanksgiving. Maybe we reflect upon our creation. But the reality is that usually it's the stranger who gives thanks to God. It's the one who doesn't have much at all. And then when they receive something, they are far more appreciative. In the epistle, it talks about how the offspring, the single one, that's the Christ, the Messiah, was promised to the offspring of Abraham. That is, they were the Jews. They were promised the Messiah. The Messiah comes in the gospel, and who gives thanks? It's not the Jews, it's the Samaritan. Right? He's only half Jewish. They are interbred with the Gentiles. It's oftentimes not us. Christ's own who are the most appreciative. It is the people from outside. The lesson for us here on the moral level is for us to really, really be appreciative, to think about the things that Christ has given us, God has given us, and to truly thank Him from our heart. If you don't have that ability to thank Him, then pray for even that grace to recognize the gifts that He's given us, to reflect upon your creation from nothing, your sanctification, your redemption, how many graces He's poured out upon us. You know, humility, as St. Teresa of Avila says, is nothing more than the truth. But the truth is that everything that we've received, we've received from God. Everything. Everything that's worth anything, of course. Not our sins, but that's not something. We receive from God. That's the truth. That's humility. So the humble heart that we have to strive for recognizes that. And thanks God for all the graces that He's given us. So today, the lesson is gratitude. Gratitude to everyone, but especially to God for the incredible gifts that He's given each one of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.